Oh me, welcome to part two of Jonah. We're still in chapter one. We haven't gone very far, but we are moving. And we're in chapter one, verse 11 through 17. This is part two, entitled Calming the Storm. Let me give you a review of part one in case you missed last week. If you missed last week or you weren't here last week, that's why I want you to make sure you have your notes right there with you. Just a little review. No, that's okay, Ralph. I wouldn't want you to succeed today. You get the visual. What do you think? Hey, no, we don't. Right, Jim? We don't want to even approach it, do we?
Right.
No, we don't want to approach it, Ralph. We'll tell you later. It's just, it's
a hot mess.
Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law. But last week, we were looking at the reasons for the storm. If you have your notes there, Roman numeral one. First of all, some storms are inevitable. You're going to have storms in your life, like today. You're going to have storms in your life, and they're inevitable. They're going to come your way. I think I shared with y'all that Colt McCoy, who was a quarterback at University of Texas, and he plays professional football, his dad spoke at a banquet one day and said that my wife and I's job is not to prepare our boys for the way, life, but to prepare them for what's going to come on the way. We don't prepare the way for them. We prepare them for the way. And storms are going to come in your life. It's inevitable. They're going to come. The second reasons for the storm is some storms come our way for testing. I've had storms in my life that were for testing. Not to destroy me, but just to test me. Just to test me how you're going to respond. And then there's storms that come our way for discipline. I have been disciplined. Probably you have been disciplined. Some of our storms are of our own making. This is what happened to Jonah here. Some of our storms are for discipline in our life. And then we looked at Roman numeral 2 last week, was the reaction to the storm. How did the sailors respond to the storm? And how did Jonah respond to the storm? And we talked what Chuck Swindoll says, that 80% is 20% is what happens to you, and 80% is how you respond to what happens to you. So your response to the storm is very, very important. One of the reactions to the storm was the sailors' reaction. They, if you looked in the verses there in chapter 1, they rowed harder. In other words, in their own might, they had tried to overcome the storms, and they were rowing harder. They were professional rowers, and they thought they could overcome this, and they rowed harder. But they cried out to God. And God is spelled with a capital G. Normally they cried out to their own gods, little G-O-D-S, a lot of pagan gods. These were pagan people, but they cried out to God, Yahweh. And then Jonah's reaction to the storm while he was in the boat was that he stopped running. The Bible says there that he stopped running. He's not headed to Tarshish. He doesn't know exactly yet that he's going to go to Nineveh, but he's not going to Tarshish anymore. He quit running, and he submitted to God. He said, God, whatever you want me to do. Now, that's what he should have said at the beginning of this book, you know, because God had a purpose for him and had a plan for him to go to Nineveh to preach to the lost people there. And God had already revealed to him what he wanted him to do. And what did Noah do? He went the opposite direction, went to Tarshish, got on the boat, and now he finds himself in a mess. And not only that, he's got other people in a mess. And so those sailors reacted to the storm, and they rowed harder, and they cried out. But Jonah decided he was going to stop running, and he was going to submit to God. So now let's continue in part number two. This will be Roman numeral number three in your notes, as we're going to look at the results of the storm. It's really neat that it's right there. I love seeing everything right there in the scripture. And this is so easy to figure out. It's not like it's a puzzle, but my notes, you can almost fill in the blanks in my notes because it's just very, very normal how it comes out. Brian, did you do that? Did you guess some words? Okay, we'll see if you got it okay. But it's very logical what's happening in this story, not only the sailors, but the Jonah. And so we're going to look at part number two now. We're going to look at the results of the storm. Look at verses 15 through 17. Let me read it. You could read it on the screen if the PowerPoint worked. maybe you have it in your notes there. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. What a result this was. The raging storm calmed. When they threw him, the raging storm calmed. And when Jonah discovered the reason for the storm was because of his flight from God's will, that he went the opposite way that God wanted him to do, but he reacted. You remember, reaction is important. He reacted properly by stopping, run. He's not going to run anymore, and he's going to submit to God. And finally, the storm calmed down. Maybe some of the storms in our lives rage because we never discern the cause or we react to it out of stubbornness. But peace came to Jonah when he began to obey the will of God. Here's what I think you have in your notes there. More was accomplished in one moment in God's will than in hours of tense toil and labor. More was accomplished in one moment in God's will for Jonah than hours of tense toil and labor. And the secret here is surrender, where Jonah finally surrendered and quit running and quit fighting, and he finally surrendered. Let me read Matthew 12. Matthew 12 says this, 39 through 41. This is over in the New Testament. He answered, Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Now, let me just stop right there. You remember we said in lesson one that this was not a parable. Parables don't have people's names. We have a real name of Jonah. Jonah was a real person. He was a prophet of the Old Testament. And Jesus is even referring to him here. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here." And Jesus even referred to Jonah and what he did and everything there. Let's look at the results. What was that, Gary?
The secret is, say Matthew 12:39-41.
Oh, the secret is surrender.
Surrender, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You keep me on course, Gary. Did I say that?
You did say surrender.
It's just hard to listen to me because of my voice, isn't it, Gary? Yeah, I know. The secret is surrender, and don't keep rowing. It's surrender, and this is what he did. And Jesus responded to that. Jonah is here as what we call a type, T-Y-P-E. He's a type or a sign of the Lord's death and resurrection. Remember, the Lord was in the grave for 3 days and three nights before resurrection. And so the Lord showed us a picture of one greater than Jonah when the Lord Jesus Christ would go to Calvary, be placed in the tomb for three days and rise again in order to offer himself as a sacrifice. What was the results for the sailors? Let's look at the results for the sailors now that the sea calmed down. This is really neat if you got your Bible. They proclaimed a belief in God, and this is God Yahweh. This is very, very important. They proclaimed a belief in God Yahweh. They feared the Lord. They called upon the name of the Lord, and they cried out in verse 14 to Yahweh, not to their pagan gods. Previously, they've been calling on their pagan gods. In verse 5, they would call on their pagan gods. But what a transformation had taken place in their life. What a transformation had taken place in their life. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not of this world, and we are the church. To the sailors, it did not matter to them which God they'd serve. But note, interesting, when they came to deliverance, when deliverance came, they called upon the real God, the real Lord, Yahweh. Big difference from verse 5 to the verse we're in right now. Real difference. Romans 10:13 says, "Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we might be saved." And so what they did is they proclaimed a belief in him. Secondly, they provided a sacrifice to God. They were not saved because they threw Jonah overboard. That's not what the magic ingredient was. You're saved because you threw him over. But they offered the sacrifice because they were saved. That came first. And works are not for salvation. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do." He saved these sailors, and then he wanted them to be obedient, and they threw Jonah overboard, and that's when the raging sea calmed down. The third result for the sailors is that they promised an obedience to God. Look there at the verse there. They said, "We're going to do things differently. We're going to do things differently." They made their promises after the sea became calm. It would have been easy to not make any promises after the sea became calm, if that's what they were looking for, is a calm sea. But they realized what they were in the midst of. And when the sea became calm, and they sacrificed Jonah overboard, they began to make a lot of promises to God. And sometimes we forget those promises when the storm passes, like foxhole conversions. When things are going tough, we promise God a lot of things. But in this case, things had calmed down, and they promised God a lot of things. They were promised an obedience to Him, promised obedience to them. Results for the sailors, they feared the Lord, they offered a sacrifice, and they made vows to them. What is the results for Jonah? I love this book because it's equilateral here. You have the results for the sailors. You have the reasons for them. You have the results for the sailors. You have results for Jonah. The first result for Jonah is that God provided for Jonah. God provided for Jonah. Jonah had resigned himself to death. He thought he was going to die. And he just got to grab his emotions here. It was this week, yes, this week I saw, you did too, that whale almost swallowed that man. Did y'all see that on the news?
Yeah.
He spit him out.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Well, didn't see that?
Uh-huh.
Hey, I didn't make this up, Margie.
Well, I did.
You did?
Yeah, he spit.
I got a witness.
Yeah.
Huge whale. Yeah. They got pictures of it.
Sorry.
He's hanging out of his mouth like
this. I'm going to go and look at it.
He spit him out. Remember me telling y'all, if it's not so far-fetched that this could happen right here.
Yeah.
Make this big nuclear submarine with all these men staying underneath, sailors underneath for months and months. Why can't I get a big fish and swallow Jonah anyway? God provided for him. He always does. And so there was provision. The next thing that God did for Jonah is he preserved him. He didn't kill him. He didn't die. This great fish is an object lesson about the mercies of God. That God performed a miracle to preserve this man. Why? He hasn't gone to Nineveh yet. He's not going to kill him. He set him aside for a particular purpose, remember? And God specializes in doing that. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, even in the middle of our storm or even in our cause of our own storm there. There's no shadow in the turning of God. He's faithful to us. And he preserved Jonah's life, preserved his life. When the storm comes our way, a lot of times we have a tendency to just grit our teeth and hold on. But God preserved Jonah. He also, what he did in this chapter right here, is he prepared Jonah. It said the belly of the fish was not a happy place to remain for 3 days and three nights. But for those in rebellion, it was a healthy place to learn. And I have this tendency in when I'm reading the Bible, and I've used this over and over again in my classes, that you've got to grab the emotions of the characters, visualize the scripture, and don't overlook the little things. He remained in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. What do you do? Can't do much. Can't go to the other room. Can't go to the kitchen. You're there. And this is really a healthy place for him to learn. Sometimes the best things we've learned is because we've had to go through a storm in our life. And I've shared with y'all. I'll repeat things with y'all. It's just the way I am. But at Houston Baptist University, Dr. James Level told us there's no learning without irritation.
That's right.
You're going to have to get irritated to learn some things, people. And that's why I give you homework, and that's why I give you reading assignments. That's why you take tests. I want to irritate you. See, there's no learning without irritation. And some of the things we learn, we have to go through the toughest storms of our life right there. Had it not been for the fish's belly, many of us would not be living for Christ in victory today if we hadn't have been at a place where he could get a hold of us and get our attention. And so what God did, he provided for Jonah and he preserved him because he still got to go to Nineveh. We didn't got out of the fish's belly yet. And I know what's going to happen, though, and y'all do too. God preserved Jonah and he protected him and he prepared him for what's going to happen. He's going to be a better preacher after he gets out of the belly of that fish. He with this experience under his belt. And these sailors were different because they proclaimed that belief in God, Yahweh, and they promised an obedience to him. So already there's revival and you're on the ship. Already there's going to be revival in Nineveh. But the raging sea grew calm, and those who were lost were saved. Those out of the will of God were recovered, Jonah. And oh, that the result of our storms today may bring people to Christ, bring people to Christ. I, in my 8 o'clock class, we're in Genesis, and I did something this morning because of what we do in here. We're starting to meet our people in there. And how many of y'all, Paul Tucker?
I do.
Paul Tucker?
Teacher.
Yeah. He's an assistant principal at Bridgewood High School.
He's a principal now.
Yeah. And his story, all of us have a story. His story is pretty dramatic, all that he went through and the rebellion he went through and the drugs he went through and alcoholism and failed marriages and on and on and on. And then he got gloriously saved, and it changed his life. And once you become obedient to the changed life, it's amazing what God will do in your life. And so we all have a story, and so that's why we do what we do in here, not only to get you to know some people, but I want you to hear their story. Because everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story. Well, now he's up on the... down in the belly of this whale. Our next lesson next week is entitled, You Can't Keep a Good Man Down. You may call it regurgitation, but you can't keep a good man down. And he's going to come out of that tomb. He's going to come out of that belly of that whale after 3 days. There's going to be a resurrection, if you want to call it. And Jonah's coming out of there. But when his feet hit the ground, he's going to be obedient. And you're going to see it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, fix these stupid computers and these machines. And Lord Jesus, I know I'm just one button away. Heal it. Lord, thank you for this class. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for at times causing us to be set down or set apart or to go through a storm in our life like Jonah's going through in order to get the very best that you want for us. Thank you for our story. Thank you for our story. I don't know of anybody that believed Jonah's story after he got out of that whale. I bet they didn't. But nobody really wanted to believe Jesus' story when he came out of that grave, that it really happened. Father, we thank you for loving us and dying on the cross for us. Use us in a mighty, mighty way. May we be obedient to you. May we be obedient to you, whether it's Nineveh or wherever you want us to go. May we be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.